This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin the Wednesday edition. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas. Circus Sports, our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Good Wednesday show lined up today. A lot of NBA, a lot of NFL to get at. Of course, the guide is out for us, the NFL guide here, the betting guide here at the network. And Jensen, we've got one of your buds, Ryan Spielberg, is going to join the program as well. I was kind of rooting for the Rockies last night, Jensen, to pull it out before Ryan came on the program today. Came up a little bit short, 6-5 last night, and that loss to the Astros. Adam Burke going to talk more about that betting guide that is out. Our managing editor here at VSiN, and of course, the great Wes Reynolds is going to join us here in hour number three as well as we get ready for the John Deere Classic, the JDC, as the kids call it here, up there in Minnesota. So that's going to be a lot of fun here over the course of the next 3 hours. But let's begin right now with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Jensen, I like this headline. What the buck? It was a rough...
Literally.
A rough couple hours, I'd say, in real time that we watched play out with Giannis Antetokounmpo and what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, they do make the big signing of Miles Turner. You get him away from Indiana and you go, oh, well, that's really good news. And then you lose Damian Lillard in not that long of a span here as he has been released, obviously coming back from that torn Achilles as we saw in the postseason last year. Before we go through what Giannis was going through, that's a four-year deal, by the way, $107 million to get Miles Turner. Then just literally minutes later, you say goodbye to Dame Lillard. That was a big-time contract, $113 million that's still owed to him while he's rehabbing that torn Achilles. And Jensen, what do you make of that as an athlete? Of like, man, okay, we're excited. We get Miles Turner. Feel like we're all in. And then all of a sudden, there goes Dame in kind of a salary dump.
Yeah, one of those intriguing spots here for front office to try and balance the present with what does the opportunity to be flexible into the future. I think Brian Windhorst said you're mortgaging your house and adding another mortgage, another place to be able to afford what you're doing. Dave, the Milwaukee Bucks will carry upwards of $22.5 million in dead cap space. That is second only to the Portland Trailblazers, who will have just a tick under $26 million. And this was kind of our thought process going into not only this year, but knowing the injury to Dame, knowing that, you know, was it a matter of time before Giannis would be dealt here this offseason? Heck, we thought even it could happen on draft night. Right. It did not transpire that way. But overall, I take the odds part of this, right? Bucks 13-1 now to win the Eastern Conference. You look even farther down at 40-1 to win the NBA title, trailing the likes of the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics right now, even with the Bucks at 40-1, knowing that they've kind of pivoted in a pretty big way with their roster construction. So I tell you, it feels like this is it for Giannis. I know that that hasn't been official yet because the move hasn't happened. But, buddy, I think the writing is on the proverbial wall, at least if you follow Giannis on social media.
Well, and we're going to get to that because I do look at it a couple different ways here. And you know how I feel about Giannis, and I feel like obviously he's on the short list of best players in the world. And if there's some – if you can smooth this out with Giannis – and say, hey, look, maybe reinforcements aren't on the way. Gary Harris, we're going to get to that. They did sign Gary Harris at the end of this whirlwind day. That's not going to be enough. That's the point, right? That maybe there's something in play, like Giannis, just be with, hang with us here. And before we get, maybe it's midseason, we see how many teams change before the trade deadline in the NBA, right? And we saw it, obviously, with the Mavericks last year and what happened with Luka going to Lakers, how big a shock that was to the system. I just wonder if it's not necessarily the worst time to hop on the Bucks. I know that sounds crazy and counterintuitive right now. But my thought process is, if you tell me, if you guarantee me that Giannis is not going to be on the move, because I'm with you, I thought he would have been dealt by now if he was going to be moved, that maybe they're going to say, hey, I know this doesn't look what you, I know you're unhappy right now. Trust us. Trust the process, if you will. I hate the saying. But, like, we're going to get you some people. Dame was not the right guy. He's not going to be ready. He's going to be out for the year. And wasting a year for him, potentially, rehabbing that Achilles, it's not going to serve you in the short term. So trust what we're trying to do here. Is there any thought that if you're management and you go to that with Giannis, that we as bettors might be able to buy into that principle?
I would not want to buy any part of the Bucks right now. And I'm just looking at just from the salary, not only for this upcoming season, if nothing else really changes. And just knowing now with this apron issue, not only the first apron, but the second apron too, it's not just this year. It's the prevailing couple of years here, Dave, where we're looking at just the topography of what the Eastern Conference looks like. And I think we anticipate that both Cleveland and New York are going to do what they need to do to try and be better this year and get the extra series wins to get back to an NBA Finals and win. Orlando has already done it. We've talked about them a lot.
Sure.
Boston feels like they kind of know what they're doing. They had to financially make some moves, period. The Hawks, if you talk about a team that's going for it, the Hawks are going for it. I think if we're investing dollars here, I think you'd rather, if you're going to take a shot on someone, I think you'd take a shot on Philly at 11-1. You'd potentially take a shot on Atlanta at 12-1. And here we are again, the Detroit Pistons at 16-1. Like, those are the teams just in and around, you know, the Bucks. And if you want the long shot of long shots, go back to the Pacers, even without, you know, Miles Turner and Tyrese Haliburton. So yeah, I just can't get on board with it. Just knowing what they're going to be strapped with here for at least the next handful of seasons.
And if that is the case, what you just laid out, then you have to deal him. Then you have to deal, because then it's like Connor McDavid. We talked about in Edmonton yesterday. Like, what are you doing with this elite player at the height of his powers if you really don't think there's anything in the next couple of seasons in Milwaukee? Then Giannis is going to want to get out. Now, these were the cryptic tweets that we were alluding to that he put out, by the way, before any of the craziness began. So he put out mood, not exactly sure what to make of that. This is, of course, a celebration of winning the title. So Giannis, in kind of a reflective mood, if you will, Jensen. So this was like, I guess, happier times yesterday. And then once we get the report that Shams Charania, of course, old buddy there in Chicago, said, hey, we're getting Miles Turner. So you got to feel pretty darn good about that. So that was the first cryptic tweet from Giannis. And it's not even 30 minutes later that they signed Miles. It's 10 minutes after signing Miles that the Bucks announced they've waived Dalla Dame. He gone. And then Chris Hayes reports that Giannis not happy with the Dame move. That's 20 minutes later, Jensen, in real time. And then Shams comes back over the top that, hey, guess what? All is well. We got Gary Harris going to Milwaukee. So that is all in the span of an hour and 8 minutes in real time, Jensen. I guess if you're Giannis, that's got to be a range of emotions in an hour. And maybe he knew what was coming with the first tweet.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That was all the predicated on what he knew was coming after.
I would anticipate it. And great Captain Obvious reporting from Chris Haynes there that Giannis not happy by just looking at social media. Yeah, I would have to imagine that Giannis had a pretty good idea before that post of both sequential moves, right? Because these things just don't happen without phone calls and those tentacles already being extended and wheels put in motion. So again, kind of goes back to, you look at the starting five, Kevin Porter Jr. and Gary Trent Jr. in your backcourt, Kyle Kuzma, Giannis and Miles Turner in your frontcourt. That to me, could they make the playoffs in the East? Sure. They're not really going to make much noise with that group. And we'll kind of see, you know, what happens in the coming weeks and months. But yeah, I think my dollars probably way better invested in other teams in the Eastern Conference.
When you say Kyle Kuzma, I just see Kenan Thompson and SNL. Man, don't tell me about no Kyle Kuzma. Let's get to the other big news of the day, and that was SGA, and he certainly got paid. As they say, the victors go the spoils. Well, he got paid. How about this? Highest annual salary in NBA history, signing a 4-year, $280 million Supermax extension. So this next contract, it won't even start until the 2027-2028 season. So SGA, theoretically, will be in OKC at least until the 2030-31 season. So $73 million he's going to make in that final season if everything stays according to plan. Jensen, money well spent. I mean, it didn't feel like they had a ton of needs. So I guess you start with your best player and the MVP and say, hey, we don't want you to be like Giannis, a former MVP who's unhappy. We want to make sure you're very happy.
Just eclipsing Jaylen Brown in total value of the contract by about $12,000, and still a bit shy of Jason Tatum for total contract value. But $71 million a year. We've already seen a lot of bad deals here. Joel Embiid at $64 million a year. No bueno. Anthony Davis for most of this deal now, $58 million a year. No good. Jimmy Butler, 55 and a half. Okay. I've said it before, the NBA is the most overpaid league as far as people that don't matter. The guys that do, though, here in SGA, being the face of the franchise moving forward, will this be one of the worst contracts for a superstar? Potentially, do they win another title here in this reign? I don't know. I sent the hot take in our text thread that I don't think OKC wins another title with this. While SGA is on the team now, I could be proven wrong. That's fine. But I just, again, you and I talked about the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
And we looked at, like, I'm telling you, man, there are a couple things that had to bounce the Thunder's way.
Oh, they could have been out.
Advance.
Yeah. They would have been talking about tearing down the team. It would have been an amazing juxtaposition had the Nuggets figured out a way to get out of that round versus how it ended up now with the reigning champs now in Oklahoma City. When we come back, you guys are getting a new stadium there in Cleveland. Could it be happening in Kansas City? The tentacles there in the NFL. That is next year. VSiN by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books, on this Wednesday edition. Coming up next will be the Daily Diamond, talking our Major League Baseball, as we like to do. You were, again, I believe, red hot yesterday. I think you had, Arizona and the over, both of those cashed. And I got nervy for you because I saw it was like 2-0, and I was like, oh, man, here goes Zach Gallen. And then, bam, no problem, Jensen. You got some nice winners in there. So we'll get to the Daily Diamond in the next segment. But I wanted to bring this up. There was a really sneaky, sometimes see these sneaky articles that we as bettors and or football fans really don't pay a whole lot of attention to. But there was an extension by the Chiefs asking the state of Kansas about some extra time possibly to look for new stadium deals. And these type of things should raise antennas, and I'm sure they do in Missouri. And for people that are not aware, right, Kansas City Chiefs actually play in Missouri. And I know it's right there in the border. But there was a little sneaky conversations going on there. And, Jensen, we saw what's happening and how it's going to play out in Cleveland, right? So we're going to break down the Browns and the Chiefs as teams potentially getting new stadiums. Now, that's not potential. That's happening in, 4 years in Cleveland, right? They're going to get a new indoor stadium, and I'm assuming not too far from where they are now?
Yeah, about 20 minutes south of downtown Cleveland, and again, will be the stark contrast, right, of where the open air is and how weather drastically affects not only the game conditions, but as you get into, November, December, January, and heck, not a lot of meaningful football for Cleveland in January in a bit. I think it's more of the roster construction we talked about. So you now have that runway of 4 years, knowing that, hey, much in the same way the Detroit Lions just north of you with their dome stadium. Mm. And I know that, the Silverdome had been there before, but also roster construction of how they've built a very competitive team. Does Cleveland follow that model? The Minnesota Vikings, with playing in the Metrodome, and then all of a sudden, they get their new barn. So, it is something that will infuse a lot into the area, but it's also about not just having an open air stadium that you can only use for 25, maybe 30 dates, depending on, weather outside. Like this stadium in Brook Park, Dave, as I told you before, they want to host Final Fours and national championship games. They want to host college football playoff games and semifinals. They anticipate this thing being not only used a lot, but it's the mini city around it, right? That we're seeing a lot of these iterations now pop up with how stadiums are designed because of the ecosystem that these ownership groups want to create around
it. It's fascinating. How do you build? Do you build the team around the stadium around all those type of things? Because, you know, one of the criticisms of the Buffalo Bills is that they're not built for January, for Josh Allen throwing the ball all around the yard there in upstate New York with the wind and the cold and those sort of things. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that concern. So the Chiefs now obviously have been to three straight Super Bowls. They'd won the last two, of course, before getting trounced by the Eagles the last time around. In our betting guide here, which is out now for Visa Pro subscribers, there were zero, I say again, zero experts here at the network that picked the Chiefs to go back to a fourth straight Super Bowl. How about that? And by the way, the betting guide that is out now, $175, going to cover you all the way through the Super Bowl. Will the Chiefs be in it? They had been the last 3 years. None of our experts have picked them to go back there. So again, go to VSiN.com/subscribe. $175, you're covered. Previews of every single team, all of our hosts, practice player props and projections. It's all there for you right now when you sign up to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. So when you look at the Chiefs, and I do feel like we are now starting to look at them and saying maybe they're on the other side of that mountaintop. Look, when you're at the top of the mountain, Jensen, and you know it as an athlete, I mean, it's rarefied air, and they've been there.
Yep.
But look at their win total this year. It is, if you want to go with those alt win totals over, you get +260. Look at the under, -310. This is a 15-win team a year ago to go under that mark. If you want to pay a little bit of juice at $1.60, that's to get 11 wins, 11.5 juiced significantly to the under $1.55. Jensen, the betting market is telling you that whether it's Arrowhead or another stadium somewhere down the road, at least this year, that it might be time to fade Kansas City.
I think the early part of their schedule too is something that you have to take into account here when you're looking at the overall win total. We say it all the time. Can you go 500 at least in your division? All of a sudden this year, for the first time, Dave, this is a real question for the Kansas City Chiefs. Can you get three wins going up against what the Chargers will look like this year? A very improved Denver Bronco team. And as we know, Pete Carroll can coach the best of them with the Raiders. Now, you get it right out of the chute. I've told you I've been on record. I haven't locked it in yet, but I really love the Chargers as dogs there in Brazil on the neutral site to be able to win in week one. You get no favors if you're the Chiefs in those first six games. Eagles in the Super Bowl rematch. Sunday Night Football for a Giants team that, who knows, they may be playing for Brian Daboll's job.
Yeah.
The Ravens at home. The Jags in primetime. Lions in primetime. Like, those first six. Dave, if you conservatively tell me that they can get three wins out of that, I think you got to high-five everybody around. Because that is a daunting start. It really is. Now, the times that we've doubted Patrick Mahomes, what does he do? He just goes out and wins football games, man. And when you have Andy Reid, the ability to have Steve Spagnuolo and that defense at the end of ball games, how many times do we see it, Dave? One possession games, and they were unbelievably good the last couple of years. Can they do that again? If so, they're going to be right back in the thick of things. I picked them to win the West. As you know, I'm very, very high on the Chargers. Mm-hmm. I just think the AFC top end is so much deeper now. And I think we have the most amount of question marks about who are the Kansas City Chiefs coming into this season than perhaps we have maybe in the Mahomes and Andy Reid era.
And the fascinating part is Arrowhead is a big part of that advantage. That is a real home field advantage, as we've seen play out in the postseason for years in the last couple of years. Now, again, they did go on the road here a little bit in recent years too. But we do know specifically Arrowhead, arguably the biggest home field advantage. So to the point about a new stadium, which Cleveland's getting here in a couple of years, what about in Kansas City? Something Jeff Schwartz and I talked about in the GM Shuffle. And as you can imagine, Jensen, Jeff has some very strong opinions on outdoor stadiums.
I mean, I would assume that, you know, any lineman worth their salt would want to get into a position, you know, where they want to be able to ground and pound and be able to impose their will. So it doesn't shock me whatsoever.
Let's hear from Jeff, and I think you're spot on in that analysis.
I'm of the opinion that the stadium does not need upgrades. Like, the fans that are going to the stadium are going there to watch football, and it's a great place to watch football. And there's enough amenities there. Now, if I'm an owner, like the owners want, and I'm dealing with Charlotte right now with David Tepper, is they want all the events. They want the concerts, the Final Fours, the soccer tournaments. And you get that with a dome, right? And I think a dome for football is terrible. If you live in a state, okay, or you play in a state, I should say, where the weather is nice, you don't get a dome. You don't, even if even the weather is bad, you don't, no domes, no domes whatsoever. Everyone outside, and preferably on grass, grass outside, no dome. But I get why donors want it. They want these events. And so right now they're pitting the states against each other, right? They're trying to find the state that'll give them the most financing. Hey, Kansas, we'll take your package. No, Missouri, we'll take your package. So it feels like if Missouri's the spot, they're going to renovate the stadium as is, I think. Kansas, it feels like brand new stadium, dome and everything. And like when you think about the stadiums that are adding these domes, and I don't know how many you've been to, it's such a sterile environment.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there. By the way, but you said you and Jeff are on the same wavelength of why the owners do it. We understand that. Like we do. You mentioned it, right? It's going to be the concerts. It's the other things. It becomes something that the community can use for not just football for those, you know, 5 months of the year. So we understand that. But in a Lewis Ross administration, would we have Jeff as our player authority, if you will, and say, never no dome. Like, we're not doing domes, people. This is football. It should be played outside on grass, and that's the way God intended football to be.
All right, so this is why you make the argument, and I know it, the cost can be drastic. The retractable domes, okay? We don't see it as much. Okay. I look at Seattle, and, you know, the Mariners, their dome, if you will, it's kind of an indoor-outdoor kind of feel. The L.A. Rams there at SoFi have a sort of indoor-outdoor. If you've never been to SoFi, it's like a greenhouse. You know, yeah. You have some open-air ventilation, and that climate is way different.
Arizona.
I was thinking to my... Yeah, Arizona, perfect example. Right? Yeah, they have the roof. God's country down there in Dallas. You know, I mean, there's opportunities, you know, to have the elements be part of it. It's just a matter of the construction. Mm. And, hey, I mean, the Toronto Argonauts don't have a problem, you know, still up then with SkyDome, now Rogers Center. I get it's CFL, but, I mean, hey, if you can build it north of the border, that's our only reference today, by the way, for those of you tuning in Canada. That to me, I think they make enough money, the owners do. Why not have the ability to allow the elements if you so choose?
I think we have to lift the moratorium on north of the border. You can say it as often as you want. We're a free country, Jensen. Say it as often as you like. But yeah, and I'm with you on that. Like, let's get creative, right? It's 2025. Let's figure out a way to make these domes that you can get weather if you need it. If you got to close it, you can close it too. I think there's a happy medium there. The Daily Diamond talking Major League Baseball. It's coming up next here. VSiN by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the books on this Wednesday edition. Just looking up as they get ready for day three beginning over there. I'm not sure what the time it is in England. I'm sorry, just not good with the time.
Oh, smashing. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Jensen, would you go suited and booted to Wimbledon? What would your attire look like, knowing the rules for the players, which don't necessarily exist for the fans?
Listen, you know, if you dress well, you get noticed, and that's how we would do it. I maybe a month or so ago, and I've lost 15 pounds, so I'm usually a sweater. And I think now I'm kind of I'm starting to get into that sweet spot of where I can probably handle a little elevated temperature. Now, again, 30 degrees Celsius, it's Armageddon. You know, in Europe, they think that's ridiculousness. I can't even imagine what some people would do if they set foot in the desert there in Las Vegas right now. I think you and I, and I think we should get this right on Bill AD's desk immediately. There should be an opportunity for us to do the books remotely, full crew, obviously need a numbers game there with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. If we get the four horsemen, you, me, Kelly and Gil, in just full white
suits,
and we sprinkle in a little red, white, and blue.
Oh, let's go
for the Americans. I mean, that's about as good as it gets from an exposure standpoint.
We better go early for that, Bill Ady, if you're listening, because a lot of the Americans get knocked out at Wimbledon early. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Let's get to it without further ado. Today's edition of the Daily Diamond. So now that you're svelte and slimmed down, are you like Aaron Judge proportions? Because that man is still a monster out there. And I know you've got something, a Judge theme to begin today's show.
Judgment Day is not here for all of us just yet, but it could be in what is shaping up to be quite the run for not only yet another MVP, but also
wow.
the American League Triple Crown. Okay. And as we kind of begin play today, you know, even with the couple of walks, one intentional yesterday, still able to get our two or more total bases prop across yesterday. So DraftKings hanging, will Aaron Judge win the American League Triple Crown? Mm. The no is a minus 225. The yes is plus $1.75. Now, when you look at where Aaron Judge is, just in the American League race here, he is obviously leading by a boatload in the average department over Jacob Wilson at 358, trailing Cal Raleigh by three home runs at the moment, and also trailing Cal Raleigh by four RBI. I would assume that he's got the inside track to not only, barring some ridiculous slump, have that batting average sewn up. If he's double digit points ahead of Jacob Wilson by the time we get to September, it's just a matter of you know, him just staying healthy to get through. I think you and I agree there could be some regression here from Cal Raleigh from the home run and the power, and especially if he's doing the home run derby, which Aaron Judge is not.
Right.
That could be one too. The RBI is the only outlier for me, because what you're seeing now in Toronto, John Schneider has done it first two games of this series. Any opportunities with men on base, he's holding up the four fingers. So we may not get the RBI opportunities or the volume of it, Dave, for Aaron Judge to be able to do that. So that's part of the handicap here. If you like the yes, just remember down the stretch, managers are just going to elect not to pitch to Aaron Judge, especially if guys behind him are not swinging well.
It is kind of amazing that Barry Bonds never got the Triple Crown in his heyday. The last guy to do it was Miggy. If we remember that back in 2012, I looked back at his numbers in 2012. 330 average, crazy. 44 homers, 139 ribs. Now, the last guy to win the Triple Crown before Miggy in 2012 was Yaz, Carl Yastrzemski, back in 1967. So, Jensen, you're talking about things that don't happen for generations, and we've got the opportunity here for Aaron Judge in 2025. I mean, this is that rarefied air.
And again, he has the most hits in the American. He's got 112 hits right now, too. It's just crazy.
Yeah, if they pitched to him, he'd have the opportunity. But I think that's a really salient point. They're probably just going to put up the four and walk the big fella. We got some. I don't like those City Connect jerseys, Jensen. I mean, I'm trying to like them, but I just don't know what the purpose is other than making more money for sales. But you've got a City Connect going today.
All right, so we had some fun, obviously, with the football on deck here. Always cool to kind of see some of these cross-sport parlays from football and baseball. We went the division winner route in these options, Dave. We started Philadelphia, Eagles to win the NFC, as you have said many times, not a repeat winner of the division in quite some time.
Over 20
remember
years.
That. Plus $1.70 for the Phillies and the Eagles to win, respectively, the NL East and NFC East, okay? This one, I think, just because of recent form, is really fun. The Rays to win the AL East and the Bucks, who I've picked to win the NFC South in the betting guide, almost 10-1.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
A little bit of a longer shot here. The Brewers to win the National League Central, Packers to win the NFC North. Mm. And then I had to, buddy, because the wagon is what it is at this point. The Reds to win the National League Central and the Bengals to win the AFC North, almost 59-1. Wow.
I don't hate it if the Cubs can't get any more pitching before the trade deadline. I think that would be in play, ironically. Could you imagine if you get the Reds home and what a sweat that would be for a 60-1 ticket the rest of the way? I will say this, too. When you mentioned the Eagles and having a repeat champion in the NFC, just to the last point about the Triple Crown, we've had a more recent Triple Crown winner substantially closer since we've had a repeat champion in the NFC East. It's one of the more bizarre stats in all of sports to go over two decades for that to happen. The Eagles obviously are the last team to do it back in the Donovan McNabb era. Can they do it this year with Jalen Hurts? Obviously the books are saying they can, but I'd be a little bit leery about that one. I like your long shot play. The realistic play would be that Tampa Bay one. I like that at plus 902. nobody beats The Miz as of yet. Jensen, what about my Metropolitans today going up against this young phenom?
Yeah, okay. So for the rainout yesterday, for people just joining us, Brewers and Mets rained out, so it's a day-night double dip. And as it is appearing to me, the Miz is going to get the night game. Mm. Freddy Peralta and Clay Holmes, the matchup for game one. But the numbers are pretty convincing.
Man.
Already in three starts. And those would be his first three big league starts, Dave. Three wins and only three hits allowed.
Wow.
In 16 innings, 19 punchies, he's almost a $2 favorite to win National League Rookie of the Year. DraftKings currently does not have any strikeout props up just yet. But I think I'm probably just going to be a fan at this point and kind of see it. But I'll tell you what's very intriguing, just knowing that I don't know if the Mets are going to go with a bullpen game. Blade Tidwell is the listed starter at the moment, but I'm anxious to kind of see what this line looks like. Initially, I might go a Brewers alternate run line minus one. Woo. For game two. I want to kind of wait and see some updated data as we go here. But I'm not mad at you if you want to back the kid the way he's gone right now. Pretty remarkable stuff. And I think a big reason why, you know, the Brewers may not have to be too far into the starting pitching market here come trade deadline time.
We did see what happened to Chase Burns in Boston, right? First start away from home in the confines. There was only his second major league start. Is there any concern about the Miz pitching in New York? Because I think there's some guy named Sinatra that's saying, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. Like, it is a different beast, right? You know what this is like pitching in different cities, and there are different feels to it. Is it going to feel different for the Miz tonight in New York?
Yeah, again, his first major league road start was in Minnesota. That was back on June 20th, and six innings of one hit ball, gave up his only two runs so far, six strikeouts and one walk. Now, Twins lineup way more
and no disrespect
down
to Minnesota, but this ain't New York, right?
Yep. Hey, and here's the thing too, and I think this is the beauty of having the day night doubleheader.
Okay,
you're barring something unforeseen. You're going to get that nice little time off in between, and you'll get that ramp up. You'll get that adrenaline, so guys will kind of be ready, you know, with all the pomp and circumstance here. So both sides are going to be up for this one, no question about it.
I mean, that was not a shot at our producer, Brandon Valesky. They're just very mild-mannered people in Minnesota. They're very nice. New York, not so much. It could be a little bit different for the Miz there than it was in Minnesota. By the way, if you want to bet some baseball, our friends at ProfitX are offering the best odds all baseball season long. They're a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 or more states, the first of its kind in the United States. You're going to be able to make those sports picks against other groups of fans, not just the books. Those exchanges are going to guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. So download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your very first month. So again, I'm with you, though, from a betting perspective, Jensen, on that. I mean, obviously, I'm a Mets fan, but I will be curious to see how he manages New York. Because I remember when Dwight Gooden was coming up, and it was, I mean, when Dwight Gooden, for those of us of a certain age, we remember what those first early starts were like. Since he went to Chicago, shellacked in Chicago. So it was like it's just a different element, a little bit out of the comfort zone of some of the other cities in the country. There are different places, and it feels different. I wonder if it's going to feel different for the Miz tonight in New York. How about the John Deere Classic? Yeah, talking some golf next. Very mild-mannered people up there. We'll talk about that next here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Going to have Ryan Spielborgs join us in hour number three, along with our managing editor, Adam Burke, as the NFL betting guide is out. And, of course, going to have the great Wes Reynolds join us here as we do each and every Wednesday. Wednesdays with Wes, a tradition unlike any other on this program, as we always get ready for the PGA Tour event coming up that week. And, Jensen, I will say this, and I've said it before. Sundays on the PGA Tour, and I get it, it's not everybody's cup of tea. I'm not trying to tell you what to watch and what to bet. There's nothing quite like it. The ups and the downs and the roller coasters. for any tournament that doesn't have Scottie Scheffler in it, it feels like, Jensen, it's like, man, you're flying by the seat of your pants because it could just go a million different directions. And we get another one of those opportunities this week at the John Deere Classic. This is in Illinois, where this is going to take place this week. And, Jensen, there's a very interesting storyline here that has developed. And I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but it's pretty wild. The last three winners at the John Deere Classic have all stayed at the same house. So, you know, players come and you rent out a place for a week. And the last three winners, Davis Thompson, Sepp Straka, and JT Poston, had all stayed in what they now call the Victory House. The Trophy House is what they're calling it. The Trophy House is a real thing now. And apparently there's seven rooms, or at least seven beds, Jensen, that you can then acquire. And as you can imagine, because who's superstitious in sports? You would have to think players are like, I got to get in this Victory House this year since the last three have come from said house. So you ready for the seven players that are playing in the Victory in the Trophy House this week? JT Poston, again, won it 3 years ago. You're going to have Denny McCarthy will be in the Trophy House. We're going to have, it looks like Grayson Sigg, Patton Kizzire are going to be in the Trophy House. Davis Thompson, who won it last year, will be back in there. And also, it looks like Sepp Straka might be vying for the same room as well. So we're going to have some former champions and some current, the reigning defending in Davis Thompson out here as well. Would you then just cut the list right there, Jensen, say, I got to know the seven guys that are staying in this house, and that's where I start the bidding?
I was honestly, as you were trying to read them off, I'm on the DraftKings page and the outright winner page, and I was going to try and I'm going to have to get it in the break from you because, I'm just going to – I'm going to sprinkle for sure. It has to be. That's phenomenal. If nothing else, you know what would be fun is if you hit – a top 20 parlay, like if all seven of those guys are in it and they all finish top 20, including, I would love to see what that payout. Maybe I'll do that just for some pizza money, just for the sweat of it. Absolutely. Good vibes. Yeah. You want to have some of that good mojo going. Hey, speaking of that.
Yeah.
There's a handful of golf pools that I'll get in throughout the season. And I did have a couple of your guys that I jumped in on. Of course, Ben Griffin, the favorite right now. Luke Clanton got in as well, put him in one of my lineups. JT Poston headlining another one. Mm-hmm. Our old friend of the show, Joel Damon, is in there. And again, I know it was way off. Little Denny, your boy, Aldrich Pockeeter, going to be there. Davis Thompson in a couple of those. Anyone farther down the list? And again, we don't have to go far for higher odds here. Anybody that really jumped out to you as you started to kind of whittle your own list down here?
Well, I will say this too. Out of that list, Sepp Straka is not going to be back this year at the JDC, so we can cross him off the list of guys that won there at that place. So Sepp's probably just gearing up now for the British Open here in 2 weeks. I will say this. One name that's not staying at the house, I wish he was, is Michael Thorbjørnsen at 30-1. If we remember last week, Thorbjørnsen actually had a share of the lead making the turn. So he popped up there, then had a couple bogeys quickly there, I believe, on the ninth hole to kind of set him back. But right around the turn, Thorbjørnsen had hopped in front when Pottkeeter had dropped a little bit. The Pottkeeter thing is interesting because you're a 20-year-old kid. You just won for the first time the PGA Tour last week. I will say this, Jensen, he seems pretty grounded to me. Like, he celebrated with a Diet Coke because he couldn't have an adult beverage legally. So, like, and his dad's with him. I don't know that, like, normally this would be an auto fade for me. 20-year-old kid, just won the PGA Tour. Now you're going to tee it up here at the John Deere, 4 days later. Where could his mind be? I don't know that 35, 40-1 is necessarily a terrible price on Pottkeeter. He's one of those guys that he either makes the cut, or misses the cut, rather, or he's normally in contention. I mean, he's kind of a, it's do or damn type player. It's either, boom or bust. So I don't know that I'm ready to fade him this week. Look, Denny McCarthy is a guy that you and I have talked about so often here in the program, and a guy that I've been betting for years and still has not got over that finishing line. So I wonder if this is the year for that. I thought it was going to be with Tommy Fleetwood a couple weeks ago to get him over that invisible line there. It feels like a really good spot. Denny talked about being in that trophy house. He said that, Jensen, there's no TV. That everybody's playing ping pong. They're having fun. It's a good vibes type scenario for the guys that stay there. And again, I think it's going to be 7. We don't know the full list yet, but I gave you some of the names there. Denny is staying in that house. If he's going in with that mentality already, is 25-1, you know, second shot on the board behind Ben Griffin. I normally want him to be a little bit longer, but it does feel like a golf course, and the vibes seem to be right for Denny McCarthy this week.
I just happened to go down. Grayson Sigg, by the way, who was mentioned, Davis Thompson said Grayson Sigg's in the media. He's 200-1.
Oh,
so if you're looking at some big odds payouts there, I'm trying to find Ben Coles right now.
Oh,
So here's what I got: Davis Thompson 30-1, Chris Kirk 35-1, Denny little Denny 25-1, Grayson Sigg is 200-1.
These are all the trophy house people.
These are all the trophy house people, according to Denny McCarthy. JT Poston,
yes,
in there at 30-1. I'm going to look more. Let's see. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, it'll be 7.
That's 7.
Yep. So Denny, Grayson Sigg, Chris Kirk, Ben Coles, Pat Kazier, JT Poston, and little Denny McCarthy. Those are the 7. This, according to
Denny.
Ron Kloss,
okay,
who asked Davis Thompson. Thompson, who is staying in the house. So this is coming from an answer from Davis Thompson a day or two ago. So take that for what it's worth.
So look, if it happens again, we're going to go, why didn't we bet one of those 7 golfers? If it's happened the last 3 years, right, then we just narrow the field down. And 200-1, who doesn't want to throw a little pizza money in there on Grayson Sigg at 200-1 if he's staying in the good vibes house in the victory house? So just an angle to look at if we believe in history repeating here for whatever reason. But it is a thing now because you mentioned it. I saw Denny being interviewed about this, and they're yucking it up like they're looking to get into this house and kind of this aura and mystique that's coming with it. And again, no TVs. They said nobody's sitting around watching TV. They're all having fun. It's like a communal feel for these 7 golfers now that's become a thing to get into this house. So if you want to go there, we'll ask Wes about it later on in the program, if it even factors into a potential handicap. But I know for the players, they're actually believing that there's something to it. So if you want to stay with those guys, not going to get mad at you. But Ben Griffin, you notified him last week too. You can understand why he's the short shot now at 16-1 to win this golf tournament when you don't have some of the bigger names obviously in there. But Ben Griffin, Jensen, at some point, do we have to start looking at him as a big name?
I think so. And just the way that, you know, he can bomb it, right? I mean, for anyone that has not taken creatine yet, what are you waiting for? I mean, it's just
we went over his diet.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, a couple months ago.
It's a miracle supplement. If you want it just the easy way, have a steak every day.
Yep.
It's the healthiest food you can eat. It is just good old fashioned USDA beef there. So yeah, Griffin is in there. Okay, I have all the odds now. You ready for this?
Bring it.
So Ben Knowles is 200-1.
Oh.
And our boy Patton Kazier is 350-1.
I mean, come on.
So you're super long shots. Sig and Coles at 200-1, Patton Kazier at 350-1, and then everyone else. Poston's at 30, Davis Thompson at 30, Chris Kirk 35, Denny McCarthy at 25. Yeah, we got to sprinkle it. We just a victory house.
A good vibe.
Sprinkle
house.
All these. I'm doing it right now.
I'm with you. I'm going to end up on that as well. One other name that I will throw out there is Nico Echeverria. That he's not in the house, but if you want a non-house member. And I saw some odds around 70-1 on Nico. He's been shortened a little bit now at DraftKings, who made people are on him, 50-1 today. One of the short list of players that you can actually say is a better putter than Denny McCarthy, at least statistically. Look, Denny's right up there, short number every year, is one of the best putters on tour. Nico Echeverria can really roll it. Had a good week last week. I might be looking in his direction for a non-Victory House player to get across the line this week. You want to bet on the ponies? Our friends over there at First Bet, they got you covered too. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use a promo code VSiN200, score 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Do not miss out. Start betting smarter on the ponies today at firstbet.com.